The themes and the content discussed in this program may be of an adult nature. It is not suitable for younger ears.
Live and local.
After the Watershed with Alison Ferns and BB Lynch.
So I was going to start tonight by saying we were going to explore bisexuality.
Mm, yeah.
But that sounds like quite literally you and I are going to do that. And
oh,
I don't know about
Alison,
you. I haven't got the energy.
I'm exhausted.
But what I thought we might do
is
explore some of the myths and misunderstandings that I think surround bisexuality. And as always, we'd love to hear from you on this. You can get in touch by texting 81333 or start your message with the word radio.
Yeah. What do you think then? What would you... we haven't introduced ourselves.
Oh, I'm Alison Ferns.
I'm BB Lynch.
You still going
with the top billing thing?
No, we'll do it the other way around tonight.
Okay. I'm BB Lynch.
And I'm Alison Ferns.
Didn't work.
Live and local, after the Watershed on BBC Surrey.
What is interesting is the number of people defining themselves as bisexual has jumped quite significantly in recent years. So I found these stats, they're from a couple of years ago now, but it shows that the number of people identifying as bisexual jumped by 45% in just 3 years, which I think shows a shift in attitudes towards sexuality.
Yeah, is that just kind of, that they feel allowed to say it? Or people are moving towards, see, I'm not even sure if bisexual exists because there's the whole pansexual thing.
Mm. Well, I see sexuality as being on a spectrum. It's like the Kinsey thing, you know, and actually for me that kind of makes more sense than this sort of idea that you're kind of, you know, this black and white idea, you're one or the other. So with the Kinsey thing, it was 0 to 6, wasn't it? If you were 0, you were exclusively heterosexual. At 6, exclusively homosexual, which then that would mean anything in between, well, 1 and 5 could be classed as bisexual.
I'm straddling 4.5.
Is that your number? It'd be really interesting to speak to somebody who is bisexual this evening. I mean, what are the myths that you have come up against personally? You see, I think...
What do you think?
Well, I think that I think sometimes bisexuals get a bad rap, and I think it is... I think there is this unfair idea that they're kind of having their cake and eating it.
Greedy.
You do hear people sort of say that, and I imagine that if you are bisexual, that probably really irritates you that people think that, because actually whatever your sexual orientation, what's that got to do with the amount of sex you're having?
It has nothing to do with it, I think, as well. Greedy.
We can actually talk to somebody who knows a thing or two about this. Anna joins us in the studio. Hello. What kind of myths have you come across? I mean, that greedy thing, that kind of, oh, you're having your cake and eating it. It must get old. You must get fed up with people saying stuff like that.
Yeah, it's pretty boring. All of it's pretty boring. And I even think the word bisexual is relatively boring. You know, if you start to see someone, for instance, you start seeing a new guy and he says, you know, and then you talk about your past with a woman and they get this kind of slightly pervy glint in their eyes. Oh, so you're bi then, are you? And it's like, no. I just am me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people think you're greedy. But I think if you're having good consensual sex and you're a good person, you are entitled to good consensual sex with whoever you want to have good consensual sex with. Why do you need to put a label on it?
Exactly. But do you think people might, in a way, find it intimidating? See, I'm just thinking, if I were to start dating somebody and they told me I was bisexual, because I am incredibly insecure and a jealous person by my nature, I would start to worry that they would be constantly looking.
It would be twice the angst, wouldn't it? That's what I'd have as well.
Yeah, I guess I've never really thought about it like
that. See, we have a normal person in the studio.
Yeah, but then again, like if you're in a relationship with someone, you're in a relationship with them. Everyone looks at other people. We all think about other things. It depends how you act on it, doesn't it?
Mm.
And I feel like as long as you're respectful and open, you know, I always think clear communication in relationships makes a good relationship. Whether or not you're super straight, super bi, you know, I see just as, you know, loads of really unhappy heterosexual relationships where people don't communicate effectively.
There's
the problems in the relationship rather than in the sexuality.
Did you always know? So do you say you're bisexual? Do you call yourself bisexual?
I don't even say I'm anything. I grew up with two married parents and my dad's gay. Do you know what I mean? Like, my whole life has been
not having to
be defined by anything. Yeah. But then again, that's just me. Yeah. And also, I have that level of privilege. I was born in Brighton. I live in Brighton. I grew up in a liberal family. I can do or be who I want.
Yeah.
I think.
And you're younger.
Yeah, and I'm younger. And it's very different now, you know. I think I'm only talking about my bisexual experience here, which I don't even think, I don't even like the word. I don't know why, I just don't.
What do you want?
It's just nothing, just
Satsuma?
Me. Yeah.
Do you think
that
we will get to a point where we literally will get rid of the labels?
Of all the labels.
You know, that people won't have to come out. They'll just be, like you say, who they are.
Well, maybe, but also the coming out thing is interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, do you think a lot of people... I'm going to stick to bisexual just because it's a word that we recognise.
It doesn't offend me.
But luckily, do you think some people will say they're bisexual before they actually completely say they're gay? Is it a halfway house that people feel safe with?
Perhaps.
Do you think that happens?
Absolutely. I don't want to speak on anyone's behalf, but absolutely. And also, I think, especially growing up and when you're discovering your sexuality, it's so confusing. It's confusing now. It's confusing. You know, you might get to 50 and suddenly realise you have feelings for the opposite sex, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Or you might never have those feelings before, but you might just fall in love with someone.
Yeah.
Like, that happens. So
so how old were you when you thought, oh, actually?
I don't know, 14, 15.
Really?
16, yeah. I mean, there's a, you know, there's a fine line, isn't there, between, like, what is exploring your sexuality and what is then actually kind of acting upon it in an actual way. Mm. You know, there's a difference between snogging girls at parties and then having relationships with women.
Yeah. Well, there's that term, isn't there, that you see bandied about a lot, bi-curious.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. I could literally see you flinch.
I know. No, I can't hide it.
When I said bi-curious.
What's the issue with that?
I just feel like, you know what, it gets a bad rep because that is the rep that, you know, drunk girls at parties get. You know, oh, I'm bi-curious. But also... my reaction to that actually is probably wrong because we should just embrace younger people exploring who they want to be. So actually, sure, be bi-curious. It's just funny, but I just hate buzzwords. It's like I don't like the word bisexual. Mm. I don't, you know, I think... but then again, like I said, that's just me and my experience. Mm. And I've never felt the need to define as anything because that's part of, you know...
I think some people think, though, the whole kind of drunk girls snogging each other at a party is often done to try and titillate men.
I think that's it as well. Like I said... guys get this glint in their eye and they're like, oh my god, you know, you talk about an ex-girlfriend and the reaction you get is very different from talking about sex with an ex-boyfriend.
Is it?
Yeah. You're not going to talk, you know, they're not going to be like, oh, tell me about the last man you slept with, but they might ask you about the last man you slept with.
Do they
still
automatically think threesome? I mean, do they sort of suggest that?
Luckily not the kind of guys that I go for, but yes. Well, actually, and something that's really interesting is that space feels very different. So, you know, I've had all sorts of boyfriends and various sorts of girlfriends, and walking into a space with them feels completely different. So, you know, you're a straight looking girl walking into a bar with a 6'4" stacked lad. No one gives you a second look, and, you know, and no one tries it on with you, whatever. You walk into a bar with an attractive young woman holding hands, and all the guys in the room, you know, think that you're there for their sexual pleasure. It's actually kind of disgusting.
It's interesting.
Not all men, obviously.
No, of course. Yeah, we're not tarring everybody with the same brush. We'd love to hear from you this evening. Maybe you can relate to a lot of what Anna's saying. Maybe you're sat there nodding your head going, yep, yep, yep. Or maybe not. Maybe you disagree. Whatever, you can get in touch. You can text us 81333, start your message with the word radio, or you can call.
Call BBC Surrey
0800 587 1046.
And what about this kind of misconception or this assumption that if you are bisexual, then you're constantly at it
getting
with
all
everyone?
The sex, all the sex, more than your fair share.
Do you think people have that idea of you?
Well, I guess it widens the gene pool, doesn't it? No, I think each to their own, isn't it? Some people date loads, some people don't date much, some people are super monogamous, some people aren't.
And you get promiscuous people, you know, whatever your sexual identity,
don't
you?
Don't look at me.
Well, I wasn't, but, you know, you have
brought
that up.
No one's looking at me, that's the problem. How rude. Unbelievable. No, no one's looking at me. Can I say something? Are labels so bad? Is there any kind of positive in a label in that you kind of know where you are?
That's... Absolutely, I'm sure there is. And also, you know, we need labels.
Because you're not judging by having a label. Yeah,
communities need, as well. You know, and there needs to be places, safe places for people who define as gay, bisexual, queer. Even I would prefer the word queer to bisexual anyway, because I think it's
all encompassing.
I have heard though anecdotally that people who do identify as bisexual often feel discriminated against by both the straight and the gay community. You're nodding.
Yeah, I get that's really interesting. Me and my friend Sam go away quite a lot together, and he is a gay man, and we go to gay bars together. And often I would basically get stared out of clubs, you know, gay bars. But because and also, why should I be there? Really, if it's a safe place for gay men to go and drink and pick up each other, et cetera, et cetera, just because I'm going to go, you know, Sam doesn't want to go without me, I don't want to go without him, et cetera, et cetera. So it feels, you know, there are places that don't feel right. Also, you know, you go to a lesbian bar, they don't want to probably see a bunch of blokes in there because, so it's a tricky one, yeah. I don't feel discriminated against in the slightest ever at all, but I can see how people would. But I think, you know, that's not just about sexuality, that's about society, isn't it? And putting people in boxes and inclusivity, and also people just, you know, we shouldn't necessarily need these spaces, but we have them.
Do you think less so now, though? Or is it because we're sitting here, either Brighton or London, saying that?
It's very hard for me to have any sense of what it's like, really, anywhere apart from super liberal places that I've ever lived.
So Scotty, brilliant performance artist Scotty, queer, did a tour of the UK. So when Brexit happened, before Brexit happened, he was asked by the Arts Council to do this tour. And I remember when Brexit happened, he said to me, he said he wasn't surprised at all. And I was going, are you kidding? And he said, no. He said, because he was going to all places that weren't Brighton and weren't London. And the homophobic attacks and everything that was going on. He just said we're talking about 1860 in some places. Mm. We're lucky.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
I tell you what also I find fascinating is that we kind of tend to think that we're kind of, you know, more liberal about sex nowadays. But actually, bisexuality was rife. Kind of, I'm talking like ancient Greeks, Romans. Yeah. It was the dumb thing. You know, it was very accepted that a Roman soldier would have both a male lover and a female lover. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't really that fussed about the gender. Their thing was more about where their social status was with the person you were sleeping with.
Really?
That was kind of more.
So when do we think
important.
That changed? I wonder when that changed.
Well, I don't know, really.
Victorian? No, they were all doing it.
Something about capitalism.
Throw that in, really.
Throw that into the mix.
Really?
And it's not just humans. Animals are bisexual as well.
Oh, Alison. Well,
no,
I don't
they
know.
Are.
Where are you reading this stuff?
I'm telling you, I've done my research. And interestingly, they can be seasonal. So male walruses, right? Seriously, I'm not making this up. Male walruses will have sex with other male walruses outside of the breeding season, and then they'll go and find a female partner to breed.
I feel used and abused, and I'm not even a walrus.
Have you ever heard the story of Roy and Silo, the penguins? Do you know this one?
No, but I know I'm going to love it.
You're going to love it. I feel like I'm reading you both a bedtime story.
I don't know what's going on.
In fact, this story it's a real story, but it has been made into a children's book. So Roy and Silo were two male penguins. Yeah. I think they're still alive, actually, because they live a long time. Penguins.
Let's get them on. If you're listening, Roy or Silo, do text in.
They are two penguins at a park in a zoo at Central Park in New York.
Yeah.
Anyway, so two male penguins. And zookeepers noticed they were trying to steal eggs from other penguins' nests, and they were trying to kind of raise a baby together.
Oh.
So in the end, they thought, well, let's do that for them. Let's give them a baby to raise.
That's kind of
messed
up.
That's made up. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm going, and the bisexual saying that's messed up.
So Ray and Silo raised this baby penguin. And the book is called, and the baby was called Tango.
Tango?
Yeah, that's what the book is
called.
Did
it take two to Tango?
And Tango made three is the name of the book. Anyway, you know how it is. People grow apart. Ray and Silo grew apart, right? And then
Who's got Tango?
I'm not sure what happened to Tango.
Where's Tango's mum, guys?
Well, Ray and Silo then went off with female penguins, which goes back to what you were saying earlier. There's one thing about seeing sexuality on kind of a continuum, but also I wonder whether it kind of develops, you know, as you age. Because you do hear, don't you, stories where people have been married for years in a straight relationship and all of a sudden develop, you know, but bisexual is it just, or homosexual feelings.
Is it just, I'm so upset about the penguin.
I know,
the baby.
I need to find out what happened to Tango.
Please, can you just research? Is it just about falling in love with a person, not a gender?
For me, yeah. I can't speak for everyone, but for me,
you,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you love who you love, don't you? It's a cliche, but it's true. Or you like, or you feel like what you feel like at the time.
So it's not that you get older and maybe something becomes more acceptable, although, or you feel braver and coming out. It might just be you've met that person.
Yeah, depending on your generation, though, I think, you know, a lot of women, for instance, you know, you hear stories about women that have been housewives their whole life and mums, et cetera, et cetera. And then they get to a point where it's finally about them. And they think about what they actually want. And then they're like, well, maybe I don't want to live under the patriarchy. Maybe I want a great codependent relationship with a woman rather than a man, et cetera, et cetera. But we're growing up in different times now.
Mm. How do you feel about the way that bisexuality is portrayed in the media? Again, I know some people think that it's not done particularly well. Basic Instinct, do you remember the film Sharon Stone, the famous scene, the legs uncrossing and all of that?
Yeah.
Some people hold that up as a kind of, as a good film for bisexuals, because obviously she's this very strong, powerful woman.
Yeah.
Other people say, well, you know, she's also a serial killer. It's not necessarily the image you're going for.
Not with serial killers.
No. Shall we remind ourselves of that famous scene where she does uncross her legs?
Yes.
Would you tell us the nature of your relationship with Mr. Boz?
I had sex with him for about a year and a half. I liked having sex with him. He wasn't afraid of experimenting. I like men like that. Men who give me pleasure. He gave me a lot of pleasure.
You ever engage in any sadomasochistic activity?
Exactly what did you have in mind, Mr. Corelli?
You ever tie him up?
No.
You never tied him up?
No. Johnny liked to use his hands too much. I like hands and fingers.
You describe a white silk scarf in your book.
I've always had a fondness for white silk scarves. They're good for all occasions.
But you said you like men to use their hands, didn't you?
No, I said I like Johnny to use his hands. I don't make any rules, Nick. I go with the flow.
Did you kill Mr. Boz, Miss Trammell?
I'd have to be pretty stupid to write a book about killing and then kill somebody the way I described it in my book. I'd be announcing myself as the...
Gosh, the sexual tension of that movie. I've
really?
Forgotten.
So all I'm thinking is perm, and that is a terrible script. Oh, that's awful.
When she talked, though, about, you know, I like to experiment, that kind of goes back to this idea that some people might view bisexuality as kind of a transitioning thing. That
or
kind
a kink.
Of...
Mm.
And also, who's making these films and who for?
Men.
Yeah.
Men are men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Men are men. Can I ask, Ali, ask Anna if I'm allowed to ask her something personal.
Anna, is Boobie allowed to ask you something personal?
I don't know, within reason.
you can say no.
Yeah, go on then.
I'm less interested in the sex, uh-huh, and I'm more interested in the dynamics. So is your relationship, do you find, and again, it's this is your experience, and I know you can't talk about every relationship in the same way, but is the dynamic when you date men different to the dynamic when you date women?
Yeah, because men and women are different.
In what way?
And it's going to come across as really bad. But there's something, you know, I have very... You know, as a feminist, and I have very strong relationships and very strong loving relationships with women platonically. And I have, I think in relationships, I'm more likely to mess around blokes because I have slightly less respect for them.
Oh, wow.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it? But not anymore, but I feel like that's something I've learned. And being in relationships with women, I find myself really checking my behaviour a lot more because you see it reflected back at you more, I think, as well. And women communicate in a very different way. Women, in my experience, will tell you what they think and tell you what you're doing is not okay and call you out on stuff, whereas blokes just don't seem to care as much or react in a very different way.
Wow, you make the female thing sound like hard work.
It's not no relationships are easy, are they? But it's emotional, and also, you know, a lot of the relationships that I've been in with women have come from friendship, and so there's a lot more at stake.
Oh. Mm. Do you have the same type in men as you do in women?
No, I have no type at all. I just like good people, and also some not so good people.
There's been some famous faces over the years who have obviously come out, if that's the right expression, as bisexual. David Bowie famously gave an interview to, I think it was Melody Maker, back in 1972. But at a later day, he said, actually, with hindsight, he feels that admission actually damaged his career, particularly in America. You know, and I guess, you know, nowadays, you know, we do live in different times, but, you know, there'll be parts of America that's quite puritanical. I imagine that might not go down so well.
And I thought, you might want to rephrase that, I thought as well that he had said it at the time almost to get publicity. So in the end, he, of course, was. But I think at that time, I think there was something about that he was just kind of sick. Because he was with Angie then, wasn't he? And I think that was the first she heard of it.
Bisexual men are a lot less titillating than bisexual women as well. I think that's a thing, isn't it?
Oh, from a perception of
them. I just think sociologically, people are much more likely to fetishise bisexual women than they are bisexual men.
Bisexual men seen as fae. Is that the issue?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you know Joe Lycett, brilliant comedian?
Love him.
He really makes me laugh. He gave an interview about his sexuality. He was on the Jonathan Ross show. This is what he had to say.
You've described yourself as pansexual.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know. Let's move on. Now, pansexual, what does that actually mean? That means you're kind of open to all offers. Not literally, but I mean, like, you don't define yourself as any particular brand.
Are you coming on to me? What's
happening? No, I'm just...
I've gone with bisexual for most of my life, but I realised that bisexual still kind of means that sexuality is to do with gender, and I feel like it's partly to do with gender, but I can only sort of know about my own sexuality, but I sort of sometimes just sort of look at, like, someone's thigh, and I think, whoa.
So regardless of what or who the thigh is attached to...
Yeah.
He makes me laugh.
He's brilliant, isn't he? So that's interesting. So when I said earlier that bisexuality might even exist in a stupid, confrontational, kind of contentious way, I can't help it. So bisexuality is about gender. Pansexuality is not gender-based. Mm. So it's if you're attracted to everyone or anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I understand.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean... Yeah, like I said, all of them, for me, sound like...
Another label.
Another buzzword. But I think this is just my... I think it's a very personal thing.
But then you fall in love with a person, don't you, rather than gender.
Yeah. Or their genitals. You know, to be really frank about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it comes down to... Sorry, baby.
Oh, I don't know.
It comes down to more than that, surely. You know, that might be great for... You know, one night stand or months or years, but ultimately
it's an emotional connection you're looking for.
It's an emotional connection, for goodness sake. Like, what does it matter?
Maybe we're all bisexual.
Maybe we are.
In fact,
we just haven't met the person that's going to.
Yeah, the actress Megan Fox gave an interview in which she confirmed her bisexuality. And she said, I think people are born bisexual and then make subconscious choices based on the pressures of society. Mm. I have no question in my mind about being bisexual.
I thought the Andrea Leadsom thing today was funny when she's what was the word she used when children might have to I can't remember the word she used, but it was, you know, be exposed to.
Oh, was this about sex education in schools?
Yeah. And she was talking about her own kids and just saying, you know, they're in classes with, you know, with gay children or bisexual children or children who've got gay parents, and I was thinking, but you're not talking about your children. It's interesting, isn't it? She kind of, there was an assumption that hers were, you know, quote, normal, and everyone around them.
Talking to children, you know the little girl?
Mm. Which little girl?
Who was in Matilda, she was in Mrs. Doubtfire,
yeah.
Cute little thing, brown bob.
Yeah.
She came out as bi.
Did she?
2 years ago, yeah.
To you?
No, not personally, no, not to me. Lady Gaga's spoken, thinking of another public figure, very openly about her sexuality and her bisexuality. I didn't know this. You know the song Poker Face?
Yes.
Mm.
Apparently, she told a crowd at a concert that was about bisexuality. And the poker face is what she sometimes has to put on when she's having sex with a man, because she's actually fantasizing about being with a woman.
So why isn't she just with a woman?
I don't know, but shall we listen to the song?
Yes.
Lady Gaga and Poker Face. You're listening to After the Watershed with me, Alison Ferns.
No. Start again.
You're listening to After the Watershed with...
BB Lynch.
And Alison Ferns. And we're talking tonight about bisexuality. We're joined in the studio by... I've forgotten what name we're going by.
Anna.
By Anna, who's here to talk about her experience of being bisexual. We'll hear more from Anna shortly, but we'd love to hear from you. Are you bisexual? And what are the myths and misconceptions that you come up against? So do you get annoyed with people thinking you're going through a phase?
Yeah.
You know, that you somehow are indecisive, you just haven't made your mind up
yet. Or you're not
yet.
Brave enough to be...
One or the other.
One or the other.
You can get in touch. Text 81333, start your message with the word radio, or you can call.
Call BBC Surrey.
0800 587 1046.
Let's take a look at the weather for the rest of the evening. We could see a little bit of drizzle overnight. Staying quite mild, though. 7 degrees Celsius, the low, that's 45 degrees Fahrenheit. A little bit of mist and fog around as well through tonight and first thing tomorrow morning. Once that mist clears, though, things will start to improve. Still very mild for the time of year. 55 degrees Fahrenheit, the high tomorrow. That's 13 degrees Celsius. Quite a lot of cloud around, but you might get lucky and see a little bit of sunshine. For Friday, it's looking quite good, actually. Quite a bit of sunshine and, again, staying rather mild. Saturday will feel colder, but it should be a fine day with some good sunny spells. Sunday's looking beautiful, dry with plenty of sunshine.
BBC Surrey.
Travel you trust.
Starting in Kent, there's a lane closed for the A20 eastbound from Folkestone to Dover. The left-hand lane is only for lorries heading to the port of Dover. All other traffic should use the right-hand lane. Traffic is looking slow there as a result. In Sussex, Scamps Hill is still closed in both directions from Snowdrop Lane to Gravely Lane following that caravan fire. In Caterham, Church Road is still closed in both directions from Stansted Road to Manor Avenue following that earlier accident near to the church. In London, Croydon Road is closed in both directions at Hilliers Lane following an accident. There's two lanes closed for the M25 anti-clockwise between Junction 9 at Leatherhead and Junction 8 at Reigate for emergency repairs. And it's also looking slow now for Broadmead Road in both directions at the High Street. Temporary lights are in place there because of gas mains work. That's the latest. I'm Beth Petty.
Call with your travel updates.
0800 587 1046.
BBC Surrey. Travel you trust.
You're listening to After the Watershed on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. And tonight we're talking about bisexuality. I'd be really interested to hear from you on this. Do you identify as bisexual? And if so, did you come out? I mean, we were chatting to Anna earlier about this. You didn't really have a kind of coming out moment, did you?
No.
Do you think
Do you wish you'd had a party? Yeah. I feel that you regret that.
How does it come up in conversation, though? Because I suppose, you know, if you're heterosexual or homosexual, at some point, you know, that will come up. You know, your colleagues will find out. You'll go along somewhere. You'll be seen with someone that they'll kind of get the picture. But obviously, with bisexual people, it's a bit different. So how does it come up in conversation?
It just doesn't. Oh, I'm going to go see my girlfriend after work, or I'm going to go see my boyfriend after work. That's it, you know.
That's it.
And also, like, yeah, but like I said, this is my experience, and it's very, and I'm very lucky not to have had to do anything about it. And I like making people feel uncomfortable, but I'm not here to make people feel comfortable. You know, it's their problem if they're uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Lewis Oakley is a bisexual activist and joins us on the line. Evening, Lewis.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's lovely to have you on. Now, you were nominated for the Positive Role Model Award at the 2018 National Diversity Awards. Well done you. What is it about you, do you think, that got you that award?
Well, the nomination, I didn't win. So maybe I need to try harder this year.
You were robbed.
I think maybe the world was just ready to hear a normal guy that happens to be bisexual talking about the issues that for so long have really just gone under the radar unnoticed and that have kind of been lost in the big LGBT conversation.
What issues? Yeah.
Well, so many things. I mean, like funding. So like in the UK, the LGBT groups won't release the funding, but in America they do. And over 50 years, they worked out that bisexuals got about 0.1% of overall LGBT funding. And so you look at things like that and you think, well, hold on, why is our sexual health research tied in with gay men, for example? So I've done a lot of work around that with saying, like, look, gay men are only having sex with men. Bisexual men could be having sex with men and women or women. Why are you looking at risk of catching a STI as though it's the same thing? It's crazy. So pointing out some of those things and seeing where we've fallen short, I think it's really got a lot of people talking.
We hear an awful lot about homophobia, sadly. Is there such a thing as biphobia?
There is definitely a thing as biphobia, but I would say it's not as common as bi-ignorance. Like, I don't think that many people... You know how so many people are homophobic and they hate gay people with a fiery passion? I find a lot of the stuff bisexual people face is just ignorance. Like, people just have never thought about it. And then you say, oh, you know, my ex-boyfriend. And they're like, what? But you've got a girlfriend. Like, what do you mean? Oh, so how does that work? Oh, so, like, do you have an open relationship then? Blah, blah, blah. Or stuff like that. And one of the things that really got me into this stuff was, so I've been with my ex-boyfriend for 2.5 years. I was single for 6 months. Then I started dating a girl. I didn't think it would be an issue. But seeing some of the things that were said to her, I was just like, what? Someone said that, you know, you're going to find me in bed with a man. It's only a matter of time before I cheat because I can't possibly be monogamous. Someone even asked, are you not worried you're going to catch HIV? And it was like, hold on, come on. Like, come on. I'm not like one of these people that's overly sensitive either, but I'm like, come on, that's not cool.
See, bar the HIV question, I'm ashamed to say I would have asked the other questions because I'm so insecure. We can't blame me. So I would, do you know what I mean? I'd want to,
but that's intrigued. That's why I don't do this with kind of an anger in my voice of like, this shouldn't be happening. I'm like, well, maybe we just need to educate them. Maybe. Yeah. We need to talk about it more. And so, you know, an episode like this, what you're doing is great. How many people will have never thought about this before and be listening to this and be like, oh, okay, I get it now.
Because you can flip that on its head, can't you? This idea that, you know, if you're dating a bisexual, oh my gosh, that means that, you know, they're constantly being tempted by everyone else on the planet. Actually, they're with you. They've chosen you. You know, they've chosen you over
all
every
the men
other person.
And all the women.
All of the women, you're the one they've chosen. Like, how awesome are you?
How
I mean,
would you
really
ever believe that?
It
is the seal of approval. Do you think things are changing?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. In some ways, you know, you are getting some more celebrities able to come out. You're getting a lot of research saying that younger people don't care. But if the stuff isn't in place, if the sexual health research hasn't been done, if the communities haven't been brought together, then they're all going to fall into the same traps as the generations before. You know, we've got bisexuals have got some of the worst mental health figures for the entirety of the LGBT. Yeah, and a lot of it is to do with isolation, I think. You know, only 12% of bisexual men are out of the closet. And if you compare that to gay men, 77% of them are out. So that is such a big difference. So as a I'm a weird case because obviously I do a lot of bisexual work. So I meet a lot of bisexual men. But the majority, you know, I'll get really sad emails from people that will say, you know, oh, I read your article on this website, you know, you're the only other bisexual man I've ever heard of. I thought I was all alone. So you get a lot of that. And one thing I always say is like, you know, for a lot of gay men, not all, but a lot, when they come out, usually they can easily find other gay men. So they can talk about stuff and be like, oh, this happened. Is that weird? You know, is this normal? Bisexual men don't really have that. We don't really have anyone that's either gone through the same thing themselves or, you know, that we can turn to say, is this normal? Is that normal? We're always at the mercy of gay and straight people's advice on what's normal. And I think that is that plays a role in it. It's like we don't ever see ourselves reflected in society. Because they throw around a lot about this invisibility thing, you know, bisexuals are invisible. And what I've always taken that to mean is, 5 years ago when I was with my ex-boyfriend and we were holding hands walking down the street, the world thought, oh, gay, there's two gay men. Now, when I'm walking down the street with my girlfriend, they think, oh, straight. So bisexuals never really see themselves reflected in the way gay and straight people do.
It's so interesting, isn't it?
What would you say then, Lewis, to anybody who's listening to this tonight and actually, you know, they do identify as a bisexual or they think they might be bisexual. I mean, what would be your advice to them? I mean, how can you go about kind of finding a sort of bisexual community, if you like?
Well, my advice is, first of all, you can't change it. So that is who you are. I think a lot of people try and hide bisexuality. But, you know, it is who you are. You cannot hide it. You know, there are LGBT places out there where you can go and hopefully meet other bisexuals. But to be honest, there isn't really much out there. There are some groups, but it's such limited funding. Again, they don't have a lot of money to really throw big parties or to do that many meetups. So it is hard, but I think, you know, that we are in the age of the internet. So you can always go online and read other bisexual men and women's stories, be inspired by those. And really, you know, bisexuality is strange, but we're very individualist. We kind of have to make up our own rules as we go along, which doesn't really happen for a lot of the other LGBT community. They kind of can collectively do stuff, but we are just by nature, I think, very individualist.
But I guess at one stage it was like that for the rest of the LGBTQI community, wasn't it? So maybe it's just a matter of time. So who was it, Ali, that you were saying? Was it Megan Fox who thinks that we're all born bisexual? Is that what you said?
Would you go along with that?
Not personally. I do believe a lot of people are gay and straight. I mean, I think maybe if you're bisexual, you might think that. Because I obviously, growing up, thought I was straight. Because, you know, if you think back to being in the school playground, you know, the other boys would be like, oh, she's pretty, isn't she? And I'd be like, yeah, she is pretty. And so I was like all the other boys. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe if I were gay and didn't think that that girl was pretty, then I'd be like, oh, why? Because a lot of gay men, you know, will tell me, oh, I knew when I was six. And I'm like, at six? What? It wasn't until I was 19 that I really kind of realized that I liked men. And looking back now, I realized when I was at school, there were boys that I was attracted to. But at the time, I just thought, oh, they're cool, or I want to be like them, or I want to be their friends. Really, I just wanted to kiss them, but I just didn't know.
So was it a kind of gradual realization then that you were bisexual?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at 19, I moved to London because I grew up in the Midlands. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of gay culture in the Midlands at that age. Moved to London, you know, there were so many gay people around. So you were at gay clubs and you're kind of like, oh, actually, that do I want to do that? I don't know. And it was kind of like, you know, it was more open. And I do think I was lucky in some ways because coming out, I wasn't near any of my family or friends. No one knew me in London, so I could go and have a little kiss with that man in the corner, and then no one be any the wiser, and no one's going to judge me for it because no one even knows me here. So I think I was quite lucky in that way, that I kind of realized as I got out of that comfort zone from home, from family, and kind of had that time to really figure out what's going on. So am I gay? Because I'm kissing boys. Am I gay then? And be like, no, but I still really think she's hot. Oh, what does that mean? You know, really, you've got to figure it out, and sometimes it's a natural process. We do. I'm a big lover of labels. I do think they're important, but I do think we slap them on too soon now. Like, have some time to figure out what you want. And I think bisexuals have to take more time to really figure out, is it this you like or is that you like? And then, you know, I'm attracted to men and women, but I'm only attracted to certain kinds of men and women. Yeah. I probably say I'm only attracted to about 5% of men and 5% of women.
What's wrong with me?
I'll have a Google later.
Doesn't mean you fancy everyone. No, I think that's a common misconception.
Can I ask, and forgive my ignorance, but is there a kind of an etiquette around it? So I'm a straight woman, so, and if a bisexual man found me attractive, does he have to tell me? Is he supposed to let me know? Because it might be a challenge for me.
Does he have to let you know he's bisexual?
Yeah.
I think that's honestly up to the individual. Obviously, at some point, because it is part of who they are. Mm. So, you know, I don't believe in, like, hiding it. That's not cool. I don't know, because when I was single, you know, say if I were Tindering with a girl, and this happened loads of times, where we'd be getting on, we've sorted out we're going to go and meet for a date, and then I've said, oh, just before we meet, I just want to let you know I'm bisexual. Hope that's not a problem. And it's like, oh, actually, I'm not even my ex-boyfriend. I can't meet for this date. And it's like, they never tell you, oh, I don't want to date a bisexual, but that kind of stuff.
Backpedaling.
So I've always been pretty forward about it. And now I couldn't not be, because if you Google my name, it's all bisexual. I can't. But I was speaking to a guy the other day, and he was saying, well, if I was dating a woman, like, I'd just never tell her. And I was like, you can't really do that. I don't know. I get a lot of emails from bisexual men that are a lot older, and I'm talking like 35, 40, that knew they were bisexual, but are kind of like hidden it deep down as though they, you know, well, I'm not going to deal with this. And then obviously they've gotten to later in life, and they've got through all the stages of like mortgage, kids, marriage, and then it's like, oh my God, but my wife doesn't actually know who I really am, and I need to tell her I can't live like this anymore. And it's like, oh, and then what you find is that they panic each other. So the guy comes out to the wife, and she's like, what do you mean you're bisexual? What does that mean? And obviously the guy has been, you know, hiding his whole life. He doesn't know what bisexual means. Mm. And I found that's happened quite a few times. Not to stereotype, but that is the reality of some situations that people can bat themselves into sometimes. See, so that's why we need to have a more open society and not make a problem of it. But I will say, research shows it's something like only 19% of women would be open to dating a bisexual man.
It's so weird because I think I'm quite open-minded and broad-minded, but I do think it's my jealousy thing, or I don't know. I do have a slight stutter about it, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, it's something new or different, or that you haven't experienced before, and maybe you need questions. And I've always said in my article, I'm not, like I say, I'm not over the top about this. I'm like, look, you're bisexual. Chances are you're going to date someone that's not bisexual. So they might have some questions. So it's about having the right answers for them, thinking about it, forming your own idea of what your take on it is and how it works for you. Because that's the thing I think is a problem as well, is bisexuality, it's an umbrella term. So you have bisexuals that are more attracted to men and only a little bit attracted to women. Or you have bisexuals, as they call it, 50-50, could date anyone. Or you have bisexuals that are more attracted to women. Or, you know what it is, all the... they could have sex with a man or a woman, but they could only ever have a romantic relationship with a woman. So it is like there are so many different versions of bisexuality that you are going to have to kind of at some point say this is what it means for me. And that's not a terrible thing.
I think
just talk about yourself.
Just talk about Anna and I were kind of talking about this earlier. One of the things is when people get older, and you were saying, like, you know, men are hitting their 35s and 40s, and I guess women the same, and they're kind of saying, actually, you know what? Yeah, this is me. Then I guess the problem is for the partner is, were they living a lie? And I know that's quite an extreme way of saying it, but, you know, is it negating everything we've had? But it's not, is it?
It's not really. I mean, I say this all the time. It's like, you know, for straight people, when they get married, it's not like your husband doesn't see other women he finds attractive. It's not really any different. You're just finding other people attractive.
I divorce them.
Well, because attraction is different from action, isn't it? I mean, you know, you can peruse the menu, but you can't order. It's that old chestnut. The thing is, as well, I suppose it's important to make the point, you know, you might be bisexual, but you can still be in a monogamous relationship.
Yeah.
Because you're bisexual doesn't mean that you need to be with a man and a woman at the same time.
That's the key for me. Yeah, exactly. It's monogamy, isn't it? Why didn't you win this award, Lewis?
I don't know. I was
furious.
this year will be your year, Lewis.
Hope so.
Lewis Oakley, thank you so much
for
joining
thank
us. Really appreciate it. You can get in touch this evening. Are you bisexual? What are the kind of myths and misconceptions that you have come up against? Do you feel discriminated against by both the straight community and the homosexual community? You can get in touch by texting 81333. Start your message with the word radio, or you can call.
Call BBC Surrey.
0800 587 1046.
Anna, it's Bebe Lynch here.
Hi.
Do you date bisexuals?
Yeah.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's all I want to know, really.
Would you,
does that work?
Why not?
Would you date somebody who wasn't bisexual?
Yeah, mostly.
Would you date?
Probably yes. I'm
the
not
answer
desperate.
Is yes.
But if they're cool, then yes.
And you know what Lewis was saying about, you know, some bisexuals are kind of 50-50, it's kind of equal, their attraction towards men and women. What would you say you are?
I have been with and date more men than women. However, actually, it was something I kind of wanted to ask Lewis, actually, was because a lot of online dating, which is the way that we date and a lot of the way that I date, is... there aren't kind of good, as far as I, you know, please show me if there are some good bisexual apps.
Oh, really?
You know, it's
a gap in the market.
So, I've got, you know, I have Tinder and I have Bumble, and I would put my, you know, put men and women between XYZ ages. But you get so many more men than you get women on both of them. And I wonder if that's because less women are on them. Is it some kind of algorithm? Is it because you talk to more men? I have no idea. But as far as I'm concerned, unless I'm just being really ignorant, there's definitely a gap in the market to meet bisexual men and women online. You know, on apps, on mainstream apps.
I'm surprised somebody hasn't got onto that. I mean, yeah, it's a bit of a moneymaker.
Do I get money if they...
Sure, you do.
You can take 10%.
20%. Yeah. Come on, give her 20%.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic. I don't really know what I think. I mean...
Yeah, have you... Has your mind changed? Well, what was your take to start?
I think I kind of had this idea that sexuality is kind of on a continuum, like a spectrum. So I still agree with that. But actually now I'm kind of thinking more about this idea of maybe we are all slightly bisexual. You know, that you just don't know until you fall in love with that person.
Yeah.
That it's not necessarily all about gender. And maybe for too many years we've had too much emphasis on... To put it how Anna put it, on people's genitals.
Mm. Wow.
Well, I think that anyway. I mean, you know, we're in an age now where we're not, people don't have to say whether or not they're male or female or define as male or female. You know, it seems almost dated to me that you have to declare what sexuality you decide to put yourself in. You know, mine can change weekly sometimes.
Can it?
And also, no one comes out as heterosexual. Do you know what I mean? I didn't sit down at the age of 16 and tell my mum and dad I'm straight. You know, that didn't happen.
I've got some disappointing news for you.
Exactly.
I thought it was interesting. Lewis was saying that bisexual men can have sex with men and women, but would only have a relationship with women. And do you think that's because it's easier in terms of society? It's like it's less of a...
Oh, I didn't think of it like that. I just thought it is what it is. You know, sex is, you know, you might just physically enjoy sex more with a man and feel more emotionally connected to women, or vice versa. Mm. Or it just is what it is at the time.
Yeah.
And
very wise.
It depends what kind of sex you're having and who it is. It might be crap.
Okay, so now we're near the end of the show.
What kind of sex are you having?
Yeah, is sex better with men or women? Now we're at the end. I feel
that's
I'm allowed to.
That's such an ignorant question.
Thank you.
Baby. Come on.
Come on, you come on.
But it depends who it is.
I know.
You know. Come on.
How different is it then? Not
it's
better.
It's completely different.
In
For
what
me,
way?
It's incomparable. Which, oh, come on. Don't make me spell it out to you.
Is it, okay, is it more, I don't know what to say. Is it more intimate with a woman?
When you're having intimate sex with a woman, it's more intimate. When you're having non-intimate sex with a woman, it's less
not
intimate.
Not giving us anything.
Yeah, but it's not, I can't. You know, I've had really intimate heterosexual sex and like really weird absolutely not intimate, I don't even know who you are, with a man. Do you know what I mean? It's completely depends on the person and the situation.
Okay, well listen, thank you so much for being
fun.
So
thanks
open and
me.
Letting us grill you on
really
your sexuality this evening. There's not many people who would volunteer to do that, so we do appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us here at After the Watershed with perhaps topics you would like to hear us discuss, you can always drop us an email at alison.ferns@bbc.co.uk, or of course you can give us a call, the number you need.
Call BBC Surrey
0800 587 1046.
We mentioned David Bowie earlier and the fact that he was very open about being bisexual. I think we should end on one of his songs.
Let's do that.
Good night.
Good night.
David Bowie, Rebel, Rebel. And before we go, look, we've just had this message from 65-year-old Kevin. He lives rurally. He's cross-dressed in the past and he thinks he could be bisexual, but he doesn't know how to pursue it, says it plays on his mind a lot.
But this has to be, he has to look at that. He has to explore that now.
Yeah. And well, when we spoke to Lewis earlier, he was saying, you know, if you go online, you can find, you know, kind of support groups. There's not many. He made that point as well. But yeah, Kevin, do try and explore that if you can. Maybe that's something we can talk about in another show, just how you do actually go about exploring these things.
Yeah.
Good night.
On FM,
digital radio and TV,
online
and here.
Play BBC Surrey.
BBC Surrey.
BBC News at 10, I'm Moira Alderson. Theresa May has told the public, I'm on your side over Brexit. Speaking from Downing Street tonight, the Prime Minister criticised the action of MPs, saying it's high time politicians made a decision on the next steps.
It is high time we made a decision. So far, Parliament has done everything possible to avoid making a choice. Motion after motion and amendment after amendment has been tabled without Parliament ever deciding what it wants. All MPs have been willing to say is what they do not want. I passionately hope MPs will find a way to back the deal I've negotiated with the EU. A deal that delivers on the result of the referendum and is the very best deal negotiable.
Earlier, Mrs. May wrote to EU Council President Donald Tusk requesting to delay Brexit until the 30th of June. She added that she doesn't want a second referendum on the issue, but former Conservative Attorney General Dominic Grieve says the time has come for the public to vote on what's being offered.
I recognise there are no easy solutions to this. I recognise that a referendum isn't an easy solution. Of course it isn't. But it provides clarity, and in my view, it's the better way forward. And what I will not be is bullied by anybody in government into supporting something which I think is going to do our country a great deal of harm.
In tonight's other news, aid workers are concerned that supplies won't reach the thousands of people in southeast Africa trapped by floods after Cyclone Idai soon enough. They say there are only two or three days of clean water left in the city of Beira in Mozambique. Hazel Niathi, who's in Malawi for the charity World Vision, says hundreds of thousands of children are in danger.
They are without shelter, they are without food, they are without clean water, they are without sanitation services. So we fear of an outbreak of disease because of this situation. Child safety is also a matter of concern as we are seeing people crammed in makeshift spaces that are not meant to accommodate the numbers of people who have been displaced by the cyclone.
Cockpit recordings from a Boeing 737 MAX, which crashed off Indonesia in October, reveal the pilots were scouring the plane's manual minutes before it plunged into the sea. Everyone on board was killed. Boeing grounded the model last week after a similar accident in Ethiopia. The Royal College of Psychiatrists has warned material on Instagram that promotes eating disorders is spiralling out of control. The BBC has found children sharing advice that could worsen their conditions. Instagram says it doesn't allow such content and it will remove it. And the weather, a rather cloudy day ahead on Thursday, but feeling mild. Some spots of drizzle in the south and west of the country. A few brighter spells may develop to the east of any high ground later in the day. Lows of between 15 and 16 degrees Celsius. BBC News. It's 3 minutes past 10.
This